Big news, Cress, big news.
Oh,
big news.
Yes.
I am, for the first time in 4 months, getting a haircut this weekend.
Yes. Well, you need it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I know. It's been a long time coming. My mum's been doing a very good job cutting my hair, I think, up until this
point. Your mum's been cutting your hair?
Yeah, she's been cutting my hair basically every week. She's cut a little bit off, tried to do
bless
it a little
her.
Bit, but I've been leaving it to grow for the last few weeks because I knew I had this booked in. You've been, haven't you, for your haircut?
Yes, I have been, and I basically just said, take it as much off as you can, please.
I'm just sick of hair. I've had enough of hair now.
I just need it to go, please. And so they did, and so it's quite short, but that's what I, because, you know, I just thought that let's just get this opportunity in now, because it was getting a bit too long for my liking. And it's a weird experience because obviously they, you know, they've got all these like visors on and things like that. I mean, apparently you are supposed to keep your face mask on during the whole experience, but that wasn't what I was told.
Oh, no, you definitely are. Yeah. I don't know where you
went. I went to an official one.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't just down an alley or anything. But yeah, no, they were like, oh, you can take it off once you've sat down.
What? That's nonsense.
Yeah, I did think that as well. I mean, they had stuff on. They had like coverings and stuff. So it wasn't like... But yeah, I get, you know, I'm facing away from them, so I suppose. But see what happens with you, Martin. I'd be interested because I don't think that was supposed to happen. But
well, I'm not going to a shop. I have a.
Where
sort
are
of,
you going?
Well, someone's coming to me. Wendy has been my hairdresser since I was two.
Wendy's coming to you.
Wendy's coming to me.
Oh, Martin! Yeah, for God's sake, you've got your children's hairdresser coming to cut your hair.
Everyone says this. What's wrong with having the same person cut your hair since you were two? Consistency, that is. She's a good friend of the family now.
Oh, Martin.
Anyway, hair aside, welcome to another edition.
Hair today.
Of Nullpoix.
Gone tomorrow. Yes, welcome to Nullpoix, a Eurovision fan podcast. We don't actually talk that much about hair, but good to know you're getting a haircut, Martin.
It's all right.
I'm Laura, that was Martin.
Yes.
That is Martin, he's not dead. we mainly do talk about Eurovision and its goings on, but obviously there isn't a huge amount to talk about at the moment, so we thought we sort of need to maybe improve our Eurovision knowledge before the next Eurovision.
Yeah,
because there's a, you know,
one of the things I've noticed about us at the moment is that we talk a lot with some really, really big Eurovision fans who live and breathe Eurovision.
They
now
do.
We really like it.
We love
but
it.
But we don't know as much as these people, do we?
We don't
know all the ins and outs and the facts
and
the figures.
Scary.
We just enjoy watching it every year. And so we get a little bit intimidated. So I'm thinking we maybe need to gen up on our knowledge for the next time that we talk to these people that know a lot more than us. So I've devised a way that we can put our Eurovision knowledge to the test, which we can do a little later on in the podcast.
Indeed, it's the Euroviz quiz, I'm calling it.
Yeah, we'll do that a little bit later. Just before we move on to that, I want to tell you about some Dardy news.
Yeah.
If you were listening to the podcast a few weeks ago, you'll know that Cress and I are now members of the Dardy International fan group.
Yeah, take a listen to that.
Clicking like on Facebook. Yeah, take a listen. It's a very, very good episode. And a good fan group as well, because it keeps you up to date with the latest Dardy news. And there was a lot of speculation about whether Dardy would represent Iceland in 2021. Widely tipped to win in 2020. They're obviously keen to have him, but he said, look, I'm not going to do Song for Skeppen, which is the Icelandic selection process competition.
Song for Keppen.
Yep. There we go. This is why we need to know the important rules on Eurovision. What did I say? Song for Skipping?
Song for Skeppen. We were nearly there. We knew what you meant.
Close enough. Yes. So was Dardy going to do that again? No, was the answer. He said, look, I've done it. I've won that. If you want me again, fine, but I'm not going to take part in that competition. So now we're hearing from the powers that be in Iceland that they are going to make a decision later on in the summer about whether or not to keep Dardy as the representative for Eurovision in 2021. The question is, do they have another contest to choose somebody new, which they know will mean that Dardy will not be their representative? Or do they say, well, look, Dardy won that competition. He should go and represent Iceland. He didn't get the chance chance in 2020, so he should go and do that in 2021. An interesting decision and a big one, which could mean whether or not Iceland wins in 2021, because Dardi is bringing his A game.
Yeah, I think they'd be quite silly not to have Dardi. I can understand why they feel a bit like maybe, you know, it's tradition to have this concert. And obviously, in a way, it's slightly unfair that other people don't get to have their say for the next year. But he did win it, so, and he didn't get to compete. So, and he's, you know, he's getting more and more popular, as we've seen. Radio 2 here in the UK, he was in their sort of top songs. They're playing a lot on Radio 2.
Yeah, yeah, in the playlist, yep.
I've been seeing a lot more people getting into the song, actually, almost weirdly, sort of after Eurovision time.
Yeah, and a lot of that is TikTok as well. It's become quite a big thing on TikTok.
It has.
Loads of people watching it there. It's gone on to radio play, huge radio play on, I mean, you know, Radio 2 is one of the biggest radio stations in Europe. So it's massive. If it gets onto the playlist there, it will have a lot of people talking about it. And you just think he's starting to build up this head of steam now. It would be a shame, as far as we're concerned, because we really like him and we really like the song. It would be a shame for him not to represent. Yeah, well, we are going to sing, exactly. It'd be a shame for him not to represent Iceland in 2021. But it's down to the powers that be in Iceland, and they may have different thoughts about it. And of course, he won't be able to use that song. And so a big question will be, does he have the ability to come up with another song that is as good as Think About Things, or is he a one-trick pony?
I think he does. Like, looking at his YouTube and, you know, the other things he's come up with, I think he does. I think he has the ability. We'll see. It may not be quite as good as Think About Things, because I guess the thing about Think About Things was that it was also a bit of a shock, because people outside of Iceland didn't really know who Dardi was. So it was a bit of a surprise. Now we're all expecting this from Dardi, so it might not be as much of a impressive thing now, if you get what I mean. Mm. Because before it was like, who's this guy and this whole song? Now it's like, you know, if he does sort of something even similar, we'd be like, oh, well, it's just that again. So there is that element, I suppose, that could work against him.
Well, watch this space. Of course, you will hear about it here on Nul Poir as and when we find out whether or not Dardi will be representing Iceland in 2021.
Play ya ya ding dong, Martin.
Play ya ya ding dong. Play ya ya ding dong.
Oh, very good.
Thank you.
Well, there's one place where you will be able to shout that now, Martin, because surprise, surprise, in Iceland, they've opened up their own Yaya Ding Dong bar at the Húsavík Cape Hotel, which is obviously the setting of the Eurovision movie. And if you don't know what the hell we were talking about there, that is a sort of scene from the Eurovision Song Contest film with Will Ferrell, where they shout, play Yaya Ding Dong, which is kind of a very quirky little song that has some elements of sort of previous Eurovision songs in it.
Yep,
and it's also quite rude. And yeah, so you can actually go and have a drink at the Yaya Ding Dong bar. I don't think it resembles the actual bar in the film, but it's more just, it's kind of a themed Eurovision bar. And, you know, I'd love to go. Apparently, they sort of decided to make it after they saw, obviously, the Eurovision film. I'm wondering what kind of drinks they have on there, whether it's kind of like themed Eurovision drinks. What would you...
Yeah, there's a lot of cocktail combinations that you could have, isn't there?
Yeah.
You could have the Rise Like a Phoenix mojito. or, I don't know, something like that. That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Well, surely, like, Rise Like a Phoenix would be like a... some kind of a flaming sambuca or something.
Oh,
like,
see, there you go. Now we're getting there. This is called brainstorming.
Yeah, we're doing it. Yeah, no, there's a lot of things you could do with that. Is pear drop? Can you have something with pear drops? Pear drops gin? Because then you could have only pear drops.
Oh, yes. Now we're getting somewhere.
If you've got any better ideas for Eurovision cocktails than that, do get in touch, nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com or our Twitter, @poirnull. But yes, there is a Eurovision theme bar. I'm trying to think if there's been any other kind of Eurovision themed or restaurants or bars like that. But all our time when we've been to cities that have been hosting it, they haven't really ever had anything like that.
No, we did go to there was a section in the ABBA Museum in Stockholm that they turned over into a Eurovision museum whilst Eurovision was in town. Not exactly the same, of course, but it was a Eurovision themed museum, I suppose.
Sadly, obviously, because of the state of the world, we can't really go and travel. Well, we could go and travel to see it, but it would be a bit of a of a escapade just for that. But maybe at some point. Hopefully it's not just a novelty thing and it stays open for a little bit so we can go and visit it at some point. Hey, Martin, I'm feeling a bit freaky.
Oh, are you? Are you feeling freaky, freaky, freaky?
Yes, I am. This is, of course, related to Senhit.
Yes, I am feeling freaky, freaky, freaky.
Why, yes, I am. I'm glad you asked, Martin. I am feeling freaky times three. This is Senhit's hashtag freaky trip to Rotterdam. Senhit, of course, who was going to represent San Marino at Eurovision this year. She already has done before as well. Her song was Freaky. Freaky! Sorry, in capital letters. She's decided to, in the meantime, do this freaky trip to Rotterdam in the lead up to Eurovision 2021. She's dropping one video a month covering a Eurovision song from the past, but in a freaky style. So with a kind of artistic director doing weird things with the video. And the first one she's done, which you can see on her YouTube, is she's covered Cheesecake, which, you know, isn't an unusual one to sort of take first, I think. I don't think, if you were thinking about it, like it was a 2014 song, so it's, you know, it's a little far back and it's not like the most known Eurovision song, I would say. It was from Belarus, wasn't it? But it's certainly a very interesting interpretation she's taken of it. I don't know if you've seen the video, Martin.
Well, I haven't, but what I've been thinking as you've been telling me about this is actually this is a very clever
idea. Oh, good, you weren't listening.
No, I was listening and I was having a thought. And this is the thought, because right. Senhit, we know, is going to be representing San Marino in 2021.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the artists who already know that they are going to be the candidate are doing things now, like Senhit is here, to ingratiate themselves with the Eurovision hardcore fans, the ones who are most likely to vote and remember her. They are more likely to actively be involved in the voting process. So if she can start, you know, putting in a few little Eurovision songs here and there, getting a little bit of a name for herself amongst the Eurovision community, people are much more likely to take whatever new song she comes up with for Rotterdam 2021 to their hearts and be more likely to vote for her. I think it's a very clever idea.
Yeah, which is why normally, of course, the rules are in Eurovision is that it's, you know, it's a new song, it's an artist that's been voted through, not this kind of weird thing of, well, the artist continues from last year if they want it to. And it's, I mean, the video itself, very interesting. It doesn't pull any punches. It basically sort of takes on a bit of a riff from the kind of Black Lives Matter movement that's going on at the moment. Instead of kind of looking at a sort of love angle as Cheesecake did, it's more about kind of the relationship between that black men have with like law enforcement. So Senhit is kind of dressed up with black makeup, red lips, kind of evoking that minstrel style. Obviously quite a bold statement for a black artist to black up.
Yeah, huge.
Big statement. And she's sort of having this relationship. She's looking very androgynous. She's having this sort of on-off relationship with a cop who's her, like, dominating over her, but then she's dominating over him. So it's a very interesting, I mean, it's very well done as well. The artistic director, Luca Tomlinson, has done a very good job of that. Luca Tomamassini, sorry, has done a very good job of it. And I would just say it's a very interesting watch. It's not, you know, you might think, oh, Senhit, her sort of freaky song was just a bit of fun, but this has actually got quite a strong message behind it, I would say. She's not just taking it as a bit of fun. And it's, you know, it's got a message at the end. If you're neutral in situations of injustice, you've chosen the side of the oppressor. So, you know, she's clearly trying to put quite a bold message out there. So I'll be interested to see what she does with the rest of her videos, really, because it's not something I was expecting, to be honest.
Right, to finish the episode today, I thought it would be a good idea for us to gen up on a bit of knowledge, because I've realised, as this podcast has been going on, we really enjoy Eurovision, we're massive fans of it.
Love it.
But we don't know very much about it, do we really? We don't know the kind of nitty-gritty facts and figures and stats that other people do seem to know. And sometimes I can feel a bit of a fraud. We are.
Do you, Martin?
Yeah, I sometimes do feel a bit of a fraud. Okay. So I think we need to put our knowledge to the test. I think we need to improve our knowledge. And I've come up with a fun way to do that and learn together.
Oh.
So what Chris and I have in front of us is we've got some facts here about a particular song from Eurovision history. And we're going to test each other to see if we can guess what that song is and what we're talking about. So, do you want me to go first,
yes,
Chris?
Play along at home.
Yeah, and you can play along here and see how you get on. So, here's my three facts. I'll do one first.
Okay.
My three facts about a song, see if you can guess what it is. So, the first thing I can tell you is that it won the contest in 1967.
Okay.
All right, so quite a little while ago. After it won, it was recorded in lots of different languages. And here's the title in the different languages. So in French, it was Un tout petit printemps. In Italian, it was La danza...
Say that again, sorry.
Un tout petit printemps.
Okay.
In Italian, La danza del notte. In Spanish, it was Marionetas e la cuerda. And in German, it's called... Wiedenhof im May. Okay. And then the third fact is that the artist was well known for singing and going on stage in bare feet.
Oh, okay. That did... Because I was trying to remember... I was trying to think about 1967, but... Is it a puppet on a string?
Yes!
Yes! It is!
Very good!
Yes.
Yeah, this is Sandy Shaw.
Yes.
Yeah, Sandy Shaw, Puppet on a String, 1967 winner. I didn't realise that Sandy Shaw was actually a bigger star in the rest of Europe than she was in the UK. In fact, before she did Eurovision, pretty much all of her songs were recorded in other European languages other than English.
I didn't know that.
So kind of Puppet on a String was her first kind of big English song.
Oh, right. Okay. And what was it? Because that kind of threw me off a bit, the different languages, because they didn't seem to translate to Puppet on a String.
Yeah, so after Eurovision, when Puppet on a String was a massive hit, she went and re-recorded it in French, Italian, Spanish and German.
What was it? What was the German one? Wiedenhof?
Wiedenhof im May. Something in May. I don't know what Wiedenhof
means. I was going to say, I don't think that doesn't translate to
No, I don't think any of them do, because French is un tout petit which I think is a something little.
Yeah.
Italian la danza del notte, the dancing something.
Well, that's
something.
Confusing.
Spanish is marionetas. Marionetas must mean puppet, mustn't it?
Oh, okay, but, yeah. Yes. Oh, that's a bit more good old Spanish.
Anyway, there you go.
Well, there you go. Well, it was the bare feet. Okay, so I'll start with mine then. So this, Martin, was a Grammy Award nominated song.
Okay.
It reached number one in the UK charts. And because of the rules that required every instrument used on the backing track to appear on stage, two Apple Mac personal computers were on the stage, one beside each synthesizer.
Oh, now then. I mean, I'm not going to get this, but...
It's quite tricky. I've made it reasonably tricky for you.
Yeah, I mean, impossibly tricky, I would say. But I can...
I think there's clues there. It was number one in the UK, so maybe it was a UK song. You know, obviously it wasn't... It was a recent song if it was using Apple Macs. The Grammy Award nominated song is just like a nice little fact, to be fair. That's not really going to get you anywhere. But... Have a little.
But I think that rule about the instruments, I think that rule is quite an old rule because that certainly doesn't exist anymore, does it? So I'm thinking like 80s or 90s here.
You would be right. I'll say you're right.
And I'm actually going to go late 80s. For the song, I've absolutely...
Do you want me to give you another clue?
Yes, please.
It was a UK song.
Okay.
Do you want anything else? Or
yes, yeah, it doesn't help me at all.
Yes. No, okay. But the person who sang it was not from the UK.
Oh, now then. Nope, still nothing. You're going to have to tell me.
Shall I tell you? You should have just guessed this because it's me, Martin, but it was Ooh Ah Just a Little Bit by Gina G.
No, was it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that. I honestly wouldn't have guessed that. Well, yeah, I mean, I did know that, but I did not think for a moment it would be that song. I don't know why. I thought it was going to be something a lot more obscure.
Yeah, no. I tried to go for something reasonably well known. And obviously that was performed at the Eurovision 1996. It came eighth. And I love this fact as well. Apparently, the Vintage Honey remix of that song was used as the main jingle for People's Television Network in the Philippines from 2007 to 2011. So if you were watching...
Of course it was.
You'd be like, I know that song.
Ah, it's the news.
So there you go.
Oh, very good, very good. Okay, well, I didn't do very well there. So currently it's 1-0 to Cress. And here's mine.
Okay.
We've got three of these each, by the way. Now, this is a more recent winner. That's your first clue.
Okay.
A bit more recent.
Right.
Here's the second clue. It's not in English. And I'm going to do this thing again where I'm going to translate you some of the lyrics now. So rather than reading you the lyrics in a foreign language, this is the translation of the lyrics from their original language into English. If someday someone asks for me, say I lived to love you. Before you, I only existed. Tired and with nothing to give. Baby, hear my prayers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then the final clue, and this is a big one. He, so it's a bloke, shares his first name with a famous painter of floppy clocks.
Yes, I thought it was this. So I can't remember what the actual song is, but Salvador, the Portugal winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It was the clocks that gave it away, wasn't it, really? Salvador.
I actually guessed before that.
Oh, well done.
Because just because you were like, it's a recent one, not in English. So I thought, it'll be that one.
Yeah.
A winner.
Winner for Portugal in 2017, Salvador Sobral. And the title is Amar Pelos Dois? Dois? D-O-I-S.
I don't think it had a question mark at the end.
No. Who are just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Okay, yes, that one I was a bit more confident with. He famously, I think, was a bit shirty about Eurovision when he won, wasn't he? He was a bit like, this proves that you can have a real song win the competition. It was like, don't be getting all shirty.
They're all real songs.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, they're all real songs. Cheesy songs are songs too.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's the movement I want to get behind. Okay, so here's one for you, Martin. This song would have automatically gotten through to the final.
Okay.
Yeah. Emphasis on would have, if that may, that, you know.
Yeah, no, it does give me a bit of a clue, yeah. Uh-huh,
It's about someone who lashes out.
It's about someone who lashes out.
And the singer isn't from the country he's representing.
Oh.
I'd say the first two are bigger clues.
Yeah, okay, so what I'm thinking is, I'm thinking it's a 2020 thing.
Yes, you are correct.
And I'm thinking would have got through to the final, so must be Big Five or the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm trying to think of all of the entries. So,
I know, this is the problem. It's hard to remember off the top of your head.
It's not the UK.
No.
Now, France's entry was French.
Yes.
Germany's entry. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember Germany's entry. No, yes, I can.
You love
yes, I
this
can.
Song.
Oh, I did love it. Oh, no. I did like it.
But look at him, he's got it. Come on, Martin.
No, I can't think. I can't think. No, I can't think of the... Just give me another little clue on the name.
It's someone who, you know... Oh, you're a something. You're very aggressive.
Oh, yes. It's so close.
You're nearly there.
I am. Oh, it was a horrible title. I didn't like the title because it was all aggressive.
It wasn't a nice, you didn't enjoy it, did you? Because
no.
It was like they were really...
Violent.
You
violent
something.
Thing. You violent thing.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Go on.
Yes.
Violent thing. Yes.
My neighbours are going to be wondering what the hell's going on. Yes, it was Violent Thing by Ben Dolik. Well done.
Whew.
Yes, which obviously was the German entry for this year, but that never became. And that's all I've really got to say
so
about
where's
that
he,
song,
where's he from, Ben Dolik?
He's from Slovenia.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, there we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, final one from me, and it's currently 2-1.
Okay.
Now, I think this is a really easy one. I think you'll get this really quickly. So, in fact, I might...
Oh, no, don't
know,
say
I,
that.
I will. So, I'll do the questions one at a time, because I think you might even get it from the first one. So, the big question here is, can you remember the title of the song? Because I think you'll know what it is immediately.
Well, that's not going to happen.
This song won for Finland in 2006.
Okay, Hard Rock Hallelujah.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, Finland!
Yeah, no, that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. I thought you'd know it was Lordi, but you might have forgotten the name of the song.
Of course I know what it is, Martin.
Okay, all right.
Tell you what Hard Rock Hallelujah is.
I just thought I'd forgotten the name of the song. I knew it was Lordi.
Yeah. Oh,
and it was had vaguely Hallelujah in it, but I couldn't remember the exact title.
Yeah. I remember.
A little fact about that song, by the way. Here's some lyrics. We are the super monsters. We chant the anthem of the phantoms.
Oh.
And the album version of the song, which they later released, is about a minute longer than the Eurovision version. Oh. So the Eurovision version is 3 minutes. Album version, 4 minutes and 9 seconds.
A bit of extra Lordi. Lordying it about.
Okay, well, you got 3 out of 3 there, so well done. Can I get 2 out of 3? I can't beat you.
You can't. I think mine were harder, though, to be fair. I didn't want to give you an easy ride. So the first clue is... This is the first Eurovision winner to be sung at least partly in a language other than English since the rule change of 1999.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So there's a couple of clues there. It's a Eurovision winner. It was sung in a language other than English, at least partly, and since 1999. So you've got quite a lot of clues in that one clue there.
Yeah, sure.
The singer was voted the top 10 most influential women in the top 10 of most influential women of 2013 by Forbes magazine.
Oh, okay.
So that gives you something, I feel. And a Ukrainian version of the song called Dicky Tansy was released in Russia and Ukraine.
Is it Verka? Is it Verka? No?
No, but you're along the right lines. You are along the right lines.
Along the right lines.
Yes, because the top 10 most influential women, Eurovision winner.
Oh, yeah, Verka didn't win.
So it's not going to be Verka, is it? It's not going to be Verka, is it? Come on.
Donna International? No?
No, no. You were going more along the right lines with Verka. I'll give you another clue if you want. Often spotted in a taxi.
Oh, it's Ruslana.
Yes.
Wild Dances by Ruslana.
Yes.
Hey. Very good.
Hey.
Well, I did terribly there and you did rather well. And so that's
I think
very
you're too
well.
Easy on me.
Well, I don't know about that. I think you're maybe better than you give yourself credit for. But there we go. There was our little game. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Nul Poir.
Yes, thank you very much for listening. If you did enjoy this, do give us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Of course, you can listen on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud. I think we're on Google somewhere or other as well. Give us a 5-star review. And subscribe to us as well, so you don't have to keep wondering when our next episode is. Do subscribe. And if you do want to tell us your Eurovision cocktail ideas, we'd love to hear it. Or how you did in the quiz, get in touch, nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch on our Twitter as well, @poirnull, P-O-I-N-T-S-N-U-L. We're also on Instagram, @nullpoirpodcast. So please do tell us all your thoughts. It'd be lovely to hear them. Maybe we'll do another Euroviz quiz at some point, Martin.
Yeah, it was quite good.
See
if you can
come back. It was. I enjoyed that as well. I feel like I went into a sort of a more challenging mode than you did. I think you were a bit too nice with some of your...
I'm
intrigued. What were the other... elements of the Hard Rock Hallelujah questions? What were the 2 second questions?
I said them. It was some of the lyrics.
Oh, I
so,
see.
The lyrics were, we are the super monsters, we chant the anthem of the phantoms.
Fine.
And then the fact that I was just going to give you a little extra fact. So I thought you'd have got it by then, you see. So I was going to tell you that the album version was 4 minutes and 9 seconds long. So there we go.
Lovely.
Thank you very much for listening to Nul Poir. We will see you again very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, no.
it's so close.
You're nearly there.
I am.